This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk Truth.
I am not that scary. It's 11:06, current temperature in Reno, 55 degrees. I'm John Potter. Only one more hour to go. 884-9910 to call up and join us here. A little local news for you, of course, local show. Several, in case you haven't heard, several Reno area community and political groups are planning a May Day. Oh, my gosh. Yes, another one. Protest. This one is calling for cuts to police funding. Yes, the police is back. And increased funding for public services. Well, I mean, the public services they approve of, I should say. Police are a public service, but they are a public service. These protesters do not agree with, I assume. The in-person protest encourages residents on May 1st to avoid school, work, yeah, and shopping. No shopping on Friday, May 1st. Yes, let's hit our local small business where it hurts. Those awful small businesses. Them and the police. I'm not making this up. This is exactly what they put out here. It's cuts to police. They're protesting for cuts to police funding and increased funding for public services. Okay. And they do not want you to shop business on May 1st or go to school or work. So I'm just reading the flyer that they're putting out on this. It's this coming Friday. It's just doubling down on a way far left activism that people, especially here, we don't want this. This is the kind of stuff that loses elections for Democrats. You know, I'm trying to help you guys. I'm trying to help. Speaking of help, our Nevada Senator Catherine Cortez Masto, very hard at work this week. This is the article from Channel 8 came out this week. It's probably still there. It's headlined, U.S. Senator Catherine Cortez Masto calls for the Senate Committee on Appropriations to block the Trump dollar coin. Article reads, Senator Cortez Masto and six other misguided Democrats, okay, I added a word there, sent a letter to the chair and ranking member of the Senate Committee on Appropriations, Subcommittee on Financial Services and General Government, asking them to include language in next year's government funding package preventing a living or sitting president from appearing on American coins, whether circulating or collectible. It is a collectible. Cortez Masto is also asking for language preventing a president's signature from appearing on currency. Not really currency. It's a proposed collectible commemorative coin. But yes, signature on a coin, that is the issue facing our time. I have lost sleep worrying about a Trump signature on a commemorative coin. Actually, you know what? At home, I have a commemorative coin with George Washington's signature on it. They made these 8 years ago, 2018, the Washington Innovation Dollar. And I'm kind of a coin freak. I'm a watch freak and a coin freak. And I bought this. You can buy one, too. I looked online. The Washington Innovation Dollar, you can buy one for $25. But it has a George Washington signature on this coin. Very offensive. Where was Senator Masto when that was coming out? I mean, is this really a thing for Senate Democrats to get their staff working on stopping signatures on collector coins? It's kind of like our state attorney general, Aaron Ford, spending his time and staff resources on suing, oh gosh, what was the latest? Suing Roblox, of all things. That's a video game that that kids play on. Do we not have more, maybe more Nevada type, you know, more important things our senator and attorney general can work on? Are they doing this to avoid tackling data centers or illegal immigration, crime, or one of a 100 more serious things that people need help with in Nevada? Does the average Nevadan really care that much about a signature on a commemorative coin? It's just, with all the major, major issues we have going on locally, and here the senator and her staff are not sure what they're doing. But the news article on this does not raise any questions like I just brought up, or she did not take any questions on it. It really is a press release, otherwise known as a free early campaign ad for her next term from her friends in the media. At least Aaron Ford took care of that Roblox, whatever they were doing with their video games. It's all the power to you. Midterms. Yes. Naturally, when a president is elected 2 years in, there will be time for a congressional election. And almost every time that happens, the party that has the White House loses a significant number of seats in Congress. It's just the way it is. But it doesn't have to be. I mean, there have been, I think, only two exceptions over the last handful of decades. But there is that tendency, so it would not be out of the question to say, could this be a tough time for Republicans? Well, President Trump right now is underwater about 2-1, and the concerns primarily have to do with the economy and with foreign stuff, the war. Immigration, which was a big thing that got Trump into office, I think that's largely taken care of, right? He closed the border. Then the topic got changed to ICE. Democrats are talking about ICE. I don't know if immigration wins Republicans any votes, but it raises the question of the likelihood that the Republicans will get battered a little bit come November. And what does that mean for our country? The likelihood, of course, is that Republicans probably will lose control of the House, and it's conceivable they could lose control of the Senate. And what would be the impact of those things? Well, if Democrats take control of either part of Congress, they will use that position to obstruct the policies of the Trump administration. And, you know, you may think that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it would probably be what would occur. You might say that that is balance, or you might say that's a terrible thing. You might say it's the only hope for our country. All depends on your perspective, of course. Now, James Carville, you know who he is. He's got to be about 150 years old. Looks like a salamander that talks. But he was on a podcast the other day this week where anybody, you know, whether anybody takes him seriously or not, he said his advice to the Democratic Party was to campaign in the midterms, and in the looming presidential election, the Democrats should campaign as moderates and be normal people and not scare anybody off. And then what they ought to do, he said, is that once they're in power after the next presidential election, James Carville says the Democrats should immediately begin the process of statehood for the District of Columbia, D.C., and for Puerto Rico, in order to ensure they have four more Democrat senators and thereby end up with a Democrat-controlled Senate in perpetuity. And once they're in power, president and Congress, he says they should also increase the size of the Supreme Court from 9-13 in order to get four more liberals on the court to take it over. And then also he said that the southern border should then be reopened. No, he really did say this. and that there should be a blanket amnesty for all non-citizens in the country now. Is all of that James Carville off his medication? Is that him trying to get some headlines for himself? Or could that be the agenda of our friends of the Democrats that they don't talk about before the midterms? Who knows? And what do you think of all that? I can see it happening. Them getting total power and making Puerto Rico a state, getting a bunch of votes there and having a 13-judge Supreme Court. Totally possible. So what's your reaction to that? I can imagine. We're at 775-884-9910 if you'd like to chime in. And by the way, am I the only one on TV or radio that calls President Trump President Trump? Is there anyone else out there who cringes when our mainstream media, our local stations, TV and radio, constantly call our president
Trump?
Always. Oh, I have not heard a newscaster use the word president before his name. I haven't heard that since the Biden days, which are not that long ago. But it's always Trump.
Trump!
And what is Trump saying? It's just, it's disrespectful. When I was at Channel 2, there was actually the rule. You write and you say President Bush. We said President Obama, and it's not the case now, which, it doesn't surprise me at Channel 2, but everywhere it's just Trump, usually in an almost irritated way with a frown on the face. You know, now I still hear former President Obama on TV a lot. I hear former President Biden.
And then there's Trump.
It grates on my nerves. I don't care what the newscaster's politics are, but it's just plain disrespectful to that office. But they all do it now. I think it cheapens the White House. Maybe it's just me, but I would be surprised if people are not calling my former place and complaining about it, like people used to complain about me. But is it accepted now to say the president's name like an epithet like that? Trump. Maybe it's just me. Usually is. I'm John Potter, live and local. 775-884-9910 is our number. We talk about anything. Get into some local stuff next, though. And the calls are coming in right now. Good. We'll take the break right now. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 11:19.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 FM.
This is Talk Radio. The original social media.
Hello. John Potter, live and local. Current temperature in Reno. We're hovering around 56 degrees at the moment on this beautiful day for a radio show Saturday. Enjoy it out there. So many things going on. I like reading many, many things, and I think a very good newspaper in town is the Nevada Appeal. Jim Valentine is a real estate agent with REMAX, and he wrote this week in, it was actually Monday's Nevada Appeal. Jim, I don't know how he is as a real estate agent. This man is an amazing writer. This is what Jim wrote about living in Nevada. Moving to the Silver State is a wonderful experience as long as you understand what you are moving into. It isn't all neon signs, free cocktails, jackpot bells, and wild horses. We actually have a wonderful way of life in Northern Nevada that is rich in tradition and steeped in values. We treasure our way of life and anticipate that you are moving here to experience and be a part of that lifestyle. That means you aren't going to race to be the first one to get across a four-way stop. There is an orderly manner, just as there is when you came from, only here we honor the law and etiquette. In fact, you will find yourself stuck at a four-way stop as the people here beckon the others to go first out of common courtesy. Relax enjoy the nice people around you, and show them respect, you will get it in return. Racing down a country lane at 50 miles per hour when the posted limit is 35 is asinine. Sure, there aren't a lot of cars, but there could be in just a moment as people and pets can pop out of a driveway at any time. Sometimes livestock gets out of a pasture and presents an unexpected road hazard. No, you don't have the right of way. Slow down. We are amazed at the number of people crossing the double-lined pass on our rural road. Are they going to deliver a baby? Are they more important than us? Or just plain still running on urban timing? Regardless, honking and flipping us off when you do it says a lot about you, not us doing the speed limit on our country lane. The litter on our roadways is sad. The amount of liquor bottles we have to pick up by our fences is astounding. We understand that they don't want it in the car if they get caught, but if that's the case, why drink and drive? The next time you drive by sober, are you going to stop and pick it up? Or are you going to complain about how trashy the place is beginning to look? We are even finding to-go boxes by the road these days. It's as if the roadway is one big garbage can. Please keep it clean and keep your property values up as a result. Nobody wants to move to a trash can. Being a good neighbor is part of the action, too. No need to be intrusive, but it always helps to be kind and considerate. The code of the West is not to meddle in your neighbor's affairs, but be ready to help when needed. It is a round world, and you never know when you might be in need of a hand. Is your dog a barker? It is your responsibility to mitigate the noise if you live in proximity to others that can hear it. There are a few different electronic devices these days that can help. The old shock collar also works. A muzzle keeps the woofing to a muffled lip flapping. Or you can just keep them inside. Don't blame your neighbor that can't sleep for your shortcoming. Handle your dog, and please don't ask for the gates to be closed now that you are here. We let you in. Fit in. Help define the neighborhood, and welcome other newbies by showing them the way. This is how you do it. Be respectful. Be polite. Watch out for one another. Appreciate our differences. Support the youth. They are the future. Don't expect the government to carry you. Walk on your own 2 feet. If you have to crawl, we'll be there to help you up so you can walk and then run again. It is Nevada. We take care of and nurture one another. We are strong, individual, responsible, and appreciative of the wonderful environment we live in. And that includes the natural beauty that surrounds us, as well as our government policies. We say this often here. Don't try to change us. If it was so good where you came from, why are you here? You are welcome to go back. Don't try to save us from ourselves, and don't bring the double line crossing mentality here. We like our lifestyle, and you hopefully do as well just by being here. Relax and be a Nevadan. It's a nice way to be. Again, that is real estate agent Jim Valentine and what he wrote in the Nevada Appeal. And again, he is also a very, very fine writer. That, folks, that is true blue Nevada right there. And what he brought up kind of reminds me something else I saw, and that were the new stats out from the federal government. And they looked at farmland and farms and how America is doing. How our state is doing in terms of retaining farmland and farms. Check it out. Between 2024 and 2025, essentially over that 1 year period, the state of Nevada lost approximately 100 farms in 1 year. 100 farms ceased functioning as agricultural operations during that time. Nationwide, something in excess of 100,000 acres were lost to our agriculture and farming in 1 year. We can, in this world of ours, make a lot of things. We're wonderfully good at like fabricating parts and and products and everything else like that. But you know what? We haven't quite figured out how to make land yet. We haven't figured out how to make dirt. And this region right here, the green valleys of the Truckee Meadows, help feed the growing nation. Settlers came in, ranches and farms spread here after the Civil War. We live in an area blessed by God in a fashion that many other countries can't even begin to imagine. And yet in 1 year, 2024 to 25, approximately 100 farms in the state of Nevada were taken out of agriculture. Most of the farms that went away were small family operations. Why are we losing farms in Nevada? One share of it is solar arrays. As of this month, Nevada has 70 utility-scale solar farms. We have put in 70 of these barely productive, forever-polluting, soil-destroying solar arrays. You see how I feel about that. And as of this month, 46 planned solar projects are in development in Nevada. This is not a function of a collapsing agricultural economy. It's a function of government incentivized this destruction of both farms and farming. And then there's the casualty of development, the green acres plowed up for hundreds upon thousands of new homes, and the stores and the roads and everything else that comes with it that is being championed by your city councils and your planning boards and county commissions and, of course, the developers that they cater to. I try to be nonpartisan here, not trying to be political, but that's just the way it is. And that's because we are forever throwing away this precious, priceless, God-given gift of land in order to make people in other states and even other countries filthy rich, and in order to live out the green energy fantasies that a bunch of morons in D.C. have. And that's why that's happening. But, yeah, Nevada lost 100 farms last year. I'm John Potter. Got a break for Fox News and local news with Greg Neft. Our phone number, 775-884-9910. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Back shortly, FM News Talk time, 11:30.
Live streaming at 991FMTalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back, FM News Talk time. It's 11:37. Your good local buddy here, John Potter, live and local Saturdays, 9 to noon. My apologies. I don't usually have time to read all the texts we get. I pre-read three of them, though. Okay, let's see here. John, no, they don't need to worry about... Okay, this is in reference to the May Day protest, which is happening in Reno, where they're telling you not to work, don't go to school, and don't shop business on May 1st. And this is another major protest going to be in the Reno area, but this one is focused on defunding the police, and that's what their flyer says, and supporting social service. Yes, I know the police are social services in a way, but they don't like the ones they don't like. So anyway, John, no, they don't need to worry about me, but aren't we willing to bet that the people who will be demonstrating to defund the police will have police protection and they won't even say thank you? Ah, well said. Okay, next one. Let's see here. Hi, John. I texted you when you had Joe Hart on about doing an Ask Joe about all the cars with no license plates. Then my wife called and I couldn't listen anymore. Did you ask him? Thanks. I did not have the opportunity to ask about that particular question. I'm sure my comment about the license plates earlier this morning reminded you about that. I did not have time to do that, but we're going to have Joe on again. He is a very, very good guest and an even better reporter at News 4. John, I really appreciated your talk on the Code of the West. Keep your nose out of your neighbor's business, but be willing to help out when needed. I especially like the part about your neighbor's barking dog. Can you print that out so I can slip it into a nearby mailbox? No name there. Just go to NevadaAppeal.com. It's the Carson newspaper. It's a very good newspaper. that and the Record Courier, excellent papers. But go to NevadaAppeal.com, and it should be, still be there, front page. If not, just scroll down a little bit, and it's from Jim Valentine. It's one of those reader donations. A reader sent it in, and so they print it. And Jim Valentine is a Remax agent there and wrote that superb quality essay on how to be a Nevadan. So welcome your text to 884-9910. I usually have time to read them all after the show, but calls welcome too. Something this month that surprised me. Well, maybe not so much of a surprise. See what you think. In the last 10 years, from 2015 to 2025, the U.S. population grew 6% over that same period of time. 6% in 10 years. U.S. federal government spending during that same time grew 40%. So population up 6%, spending up 40%. I'm not a math guy, and, you know, it's my wife who pays the bills up at the house, but there's something about those numbers that just seems a little cattywampus to me. Government grows. I don't know which stage of cancer you would correlate that to. You know, cancer is a problem where, you know, something goes weird with the cells in your body and they just dramatically grow. And that causes heartbreaking and potentially fatal problems. And the government is the cancer of this society, right? It just is. I'm not saying this just because we just got through with tax day. It just is. It far outstrips anything. It's like bigger and bigger, more and more. And you say,
oh, well, John, wonderful government does huge, wonderful things. It's a blessing, and it's huge. We can't get by without it, John.
And how does cancer kill? It disrupts the structure of the body. It also gets so greedy that after a while, it's taking all the grow juice out of you, if you will. It eats all your stuff, like your food, whatever else like that, and it disproportionately hogs up what the body needs, the resources. And I think that is kind of what government does. It's disproportionately hogging up the resources, and we keep paying our taxes. Okay, so I had nothing more to add to that. Just saw that factoid here. And apropos of nothing, I saw an article yesterday. It reads, environmental scientists are seriously concerned in talking about the possibility that the monarch butterfly could go extinct and could be put on the endangered species list soon. Well, here's the deal. And I'm speaking as a Nevadan. You know, monarch butterflies in Nevada. Monarch butterflies are rare now. We don't see them anymore. Do you? And if you got a few years on you, you know, when you were a kid, monarch butterflies were everywhere. And monarch caterpillars were everywhere, right? I mean, you'd see them in gardens, wetlands, any open area. I remember in school, we had the little caterpillar. And after a while, it comes out and, holy cats, it's a butterfly. And it seems like that was a fairly common experience in elementary school classrooms. And we'd all go, oh, wow, yeah, look how pretty, so cool. And it was a great thing, a wonderful thing. And I remember the teacher, and all of us got the caterpillars outside the school right on the milkweed plants. And I think now if a school does that, they probably would have to order the caterpillar through the mail. Caterpillars rely heavily on native milkweed for breeding and nectar plants for food. And what's happened here in Nevada is a couple of things. One, the monarch butterfly has the most fascinating kind of lifestyle. It sort of migrates all the way up into the United States and then all the way back down to Mexico, where they hang out for the winter. Not in individual butterflies, but generations of butterflies. And some will lay their eggs here. And it turns into a caterpillar, and then it turns into a butterfly, and it flies a few hundred miles north, and lays some eggs, and they turn to caterpillar and butterfly, and then a few more miles next time up north, and they go, you know, up and back several generations every warm season. In Nevada, monarchs migrate between our mountain and valley areas in the summer, and they go to the California coast in the winter. They are present in Nevada, if you can find them, usually from spring through fall, and then they move to the coast in October, and they breed on native milkweed before migrating to the coast for winter. And there's the problem, that's a tough thing to maintain in this modern world, especially since they eat really one thing, and that's milkweed. And, you know, we mow the grass, and we have far fewer open fields, and there's not that much milkweed anymore. The monarch butterfly populations have declined significantly by over 95%, not just in the West, but all over the country. And consequently, we hardly see any monarch butterflies, which is really sad because, well, they're beautiful creatures. I should have had the butterfly in with the farms screed that I did earlier. But that kind of fits together. The enemy, of course, mowing lawns, development, solar farms. That's who I blame. One more segment. Oh, we got phone calls. I'm sorry. Let's go to Jeff calling in, 884-9910. Jeff, good morning. I'm glad you called.
Oh, good morning. Thank you. It's just a small observation. Every time I hear your Lincoln Heating Air commercial about the news of Abraham Lincoln being elected, I looked up the dates, and it was a Wednesday. So it was the very next day right after the election. They were sending the Pony Express across the country for the news to get to California. And, you know, that's 150 years ago, and they could figure out who got elected.
Yeah.
As opposed to nowadays. Kind of an interesting.
That's absolutely, Jeff. We sound like really old people here. And your phone sounds like my cable TV reception, by the way.
Oh, but, well.
No, I appreciate that. Yes, Abraham Lincoln. I appreciate the call, Jeff. Just a thought. Love it. As I said, one more. We got to take a break now. Final segment up next, the open topic, 884-9910. So interested in hearing about what you're doing this weekend. Plenty of things to do. Great weather, too. I'm John Potter, live and local, back shortly, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 1147.
Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM talk station, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. FM News Talk time. It is 11:50. Current temperature in Reno. A few clouds out there. 57 degrees. But to me, it looks like a dang near perfect day out there. One of those days where you remember to thank God for the blue skies. Anyway, 884-9910 is our number. I hope you have fun this weekend. I got to say, the most fun I had all probably this month. The most fun I had this month was last weekend when I went out for a quick camping trip after the show last Saturday, the one in Yerington. And I thought, well, you know, Tahoe isn't that, you know, far off. Well, it kind of is. But anyway, okay, so it was a very tight time window. I had to be home by Sunday night, you know, because I work Monday morning here and the obligations at home, of course. But I find that driving through the country in a pickup truck with a window open, playing some pretty loud country music, and then getting out in the out of doors under this open sky and doing some good energetic hiking. I tell you what, I just find so much enjoyment in that. It just makes me feel alive. So anyway, last Saturday afternoon, I drove down to the west shore of Tahoe, set up camp at Sugar Pine State Park. You know, they have winter camping there, and there's usually a lot of space during the winter months. But anyway, the weather was great. You set up camp at Sugar Pine. Then you hike. This is what I do. You hike down the trail alongside Route 89, which is right alongside by the lake. You go south through Tahoma, and before you get to Shadyside and Tahoe City, there's this big forest on your left. Don't know what the name of it is. It's like midway between Tahoma and Shadyside, Tahoe City. And so anyway, you're walking along this forest on your left, and you find a path. There's a couple of, like, just two little paths that enter into this huge forest there. And you follow a very thin trail that disappears now and then, but you end up deep in the woods. And being out in the woods, the sun shining bright, you know, 1 minute snow falling like crazy, and the next you're splashing through the mud, and you're sitting beside the roaring brook, wash the mud off your boots. They have this big log that's over a roaring creek there. It's just amazing. And it was just like, it was the life. And hiking out through the woods, keeping the sun at about my 9 o'clock, trying to walk a straight line through the woods, figured out, you know, I figured I'd come out somewhere. It's just exhilarating. And at any rate, I'm grateful for the opportunities to do stuff like that. And if I live another 30, 40 years, as long as I got legs under me, that's how I spend my days. I'll be tottering around out in the woods somewhere. This weekend, tomorrow, I have to find a birthday present for a good friend of mine. Sunday, I'm doing some birthday shopping for him. I'm not a good shopper. I'll go out shopping for you. I'm going to buy something for you that really is a reflection of my tastes. Everybody I'm related to, when I'm buying gifts, I'm either going to give you a knife, a backpack, a pair of waterproof hiking boots, or a bird book. Really, that's it. Now, the bird book, that may have a list of hikes you could go on or something like that, but that's pretty much it. Those are really the only things I know how to buy. And each time I see one of those, I go, well, hold it. Yeah, they'd really like a knife. Not that Vicarix, Victor, Rix brand, that whatever that brand is. And I'm not going after your grandfather. I know that he carried one of those Swiss Army knives. But I have long thought that a nice, solid, American-made pocket knife was far more useful and far more manly than a Swiss Army knife. Now, I recognize that there's some odd European fetish that kicks in where you say to yourself, how many obscure little tools could I put in this knife? And so there's the tiny scissors and the tweezers and a corkscrew and some kind of anemic little thing they call a blade. I'm not exactly sure. My thought is, if you carry a Swiss Army knife, probably your contact sport of choice is knitting. I'm just, you know, maybe crocheting, I don't know. But how about this? What if you got them or yourself a nice Stockman-style pocket knife? The classic Stockman has like three blades in it. And one of those blades is going to do whatever task you need. No, you won't have to. You won't be able to do any tweezing. You won't be able to make any sewing repairs on your skirt, but you'll have a knife just in case you need it. Now, you know, some people might say, John, I can't remember the last time I needed a pocket knife. You can use it to restitch your saddle as you cross the plains. If you want to be out there, it will prepare you. It's a tool for that. And also, let me just say, on a Swiss Army knife, that cheap red plastic on the side, I don't like it. It breaks. I don't want to run down any brand of knife. I just down deep. I just really like a knife, a backpack, pair of waterproof hiking boots, and a bird book. And if I'm shopping for you, I'm going to find something like that I like myself, and I'm going to end up taking that home with me. So I'm not too good at birthday shopping or any other kind of shopping, which is why it's really handy that I have a wife. She's good at those things. So people get presents that make more sense than anything I can get them. Yes, Craig? Oh, I'm sorry. Joho is calling about, let's go to the phone, 884-9910. Hey, Joho, good morning.
Hey, just want to let you know, two best American-made knife companies, Benchmade and Leatherman. Leatherman's multi-tool. There's no red plastic on it. It's all metal. And they have a little saw that I love, and I use that when I'm hunting.
So cool. Well, everybody knows Leatherman. What was the other one?
Benchmade.
Benchmade. You know, folks, we have a lot of good knife makers in this country. I think it's one of the things we're known for. John, not Joho. Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Go to Shields, because they have a lot of American knife brands there.
Excellent. Sir, you said it better than me. There is nothing better, really, than an excellent knife that you can rely on. Right? I think...
Amen,
Swiss Army
brother.
Knife. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, sir. Swiss Army knife ruined it for everybody. Get yourself a nice knife. A bird book. Walk aimlessly through a forest. It's all free. It's all good. I'm John Potter, live and local. Have yourself a wonderful weekend, folks, and I'll talk to you again next Saturday. I love you all. Keep in touch with us, too. 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Great radio station, don't you think? Fox News is next. Have yourself a great weekend. Bye-bye. Thanks, buddy.